Hi, welcome to Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. And let's pretend that we did a show last week and this is not a huge break.
No.
Let's just ignore that part.
It has not been like 3 to 4 months since we recorded last.
So our last show was the MLS preview show.
There you go.
I think most teams are like 10, 12 games into the season.
So we've skipped a few weeks.
Just a bit.
Just a few weeks. As things do in this time of life, in the era that we find ourselves, our lives are
just middle-aged dads.
Yeah, we're are being governed by our children's lives fully at this point.
Yes.
It's mostly youth soccer doing it to us.
Pretty much exclusively youth soccer.
Yeah. That's what I've been up
to. I mean, I have one daughter that also does like dance.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really clog up my weeks the way that soccer does.
No.
Like, she has one recital a quarter.
Sounds lovely.
So that's just one Saturday I have to worry about.
Oh, man, imagine that life for all of your children.
I think most weekends here in the spring season, we had games both Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Love them.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, between my two daughters who are playing, my son is just now squeaking his way into it as well. It's just been, we spend literally every day at the fields.
That's a lot of practices you have to be, or at least someone in your family has to be at.
Yeah, now my wife and I both coach one of the daughters' teams, so okay. that helps us to control scheduling a little bit. Did not work up at all this year. Like, it almost never overlapped. So
we
did a bad job of that.
Why would it
okay overlap? Job on the weekends, but anyway, that is why we have been absent. We're doing a bad job of ignoring it. But
no, we just spent at least 3 minutes just talking about it.
But
but here we find ourselves not only just doing a show, but doing one of our favorite shows, which is the Premier League review show.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't listened to it before, probably didn't miss much, but what we do is we'll run through all the teams, 20 all the way to 1. I'll make DJ try to guess their top scorer. Always fun.
Yeah, it's me doing a bad job.
There will be at least one or two names in that group where this will be the first time either of us have ever heard of that person.
We've heard it before, but we've just never cared to think anything.
No, you never
more
thought,
about
like, oh, that guy's definitely. Like,
yeah, I'm going to put that in the memory.
That guy's definitely put like 7.
Yeah. It'll be at least 7 or 8 teams. So,
okay.
just going to be honest here.
So we'll do that. But first, we want to go through all of our predictions from our prediction show back in August, back when we had some very interesting thoughts.
We did. It's true.
About how we thought the season was going to go.
It's always an exercise in seeing how bad of pundits we are.
How bad.
Yeah. And the answer is bad every time.
Well, this is harder, right? So we do the MLS one. What, it's like 9 teams collectively?
Yeah.
Like, so 18 teams make the playoffs.
Your hit rate
like,
is way higher on
so easy to be at least mostly correct.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing top 4 relegation. Those are harder to nail. Especially relegation.
Yeah.
Because there's always like a team you're like, they could be absolute trash.
Yeah, it's a real possibility.
Or they could be absolutely okay, but then battle, you know, point deductions.
It's the truth.
You know, which I don't think we normally factor in.
We don't factor
in the point deduction.
It was certainly a factor this year.
It was.
But it is fun to go through it nonetheless, whether we get it right or wrong, to see how wrong or right we might have been is always a fun exercise. So let's kick things off there.
With our going through our predictions.
Yeah.
From back in August. I believe it was August 8th or 9th that we recorded.
I believe that's correct.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
So, well, we'll get to it in a second, but all right, let's go top 4. Now, obviously, if you're paying attention, you already know the top 4. The top 4, the correct answers were City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa, which...
Outlier.
You're going to be shocked none of us got that one.
Nope, neither one of us had that
in the prediction list. Either of us... Didn't even have it as our dark horse.
Mm-mm. Now, how'd you fare, though, overall?
We both obviously had City winning this one.
We did, yes.
I had Arsenal doing well. I had them going in 3rd place. I think, you know.
I had them going 2nd. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you got 2
of
them correct.
I got 1 and 2.
I had Liverpool finishing top 4.
I had them in third, so it's that one.
I had Manchester United in second place. Second place.
I had them in third, so...
Not much better, to be honest. Not a whole lot better that you had them in second.
Neither one of us got it right at all.
I did not remember. I went back and listened to the preview show just to kind of, because I couldn't find my notes, so I was like, I gotta actually like go through and like pull out
and see what I wrote down here. Yeah.
I'd forgot how absolutely like all in I was on Ten Hag's United, just putting on a show.
It wasn't just you. I was all about it too. I thought for sure like the pieces were falling into place finally for that club. And I did the same thing. I went back and listened to that show and I was like, we were really wrong about that.
In retrospect, a terrible prediction.
Yeah.
So those were my three, mm-hmm. or those were my four. So again, I had just City in the right spot. You had two in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
You had three of the right teams?
I had two. I had just two. Oh, okay. My fourth team was Chelsea. So you guys got close at the end-ish.
In retrospect, yeah.
Yeah. It looks close on paper, at least.
Considering where we were at certain points in the season, yeah, it was pretty close.
That's a good point. Should we move to the other end of the table?
So relegation, obviously, the answers were Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.
I had Luton. I had Luton. I had Nottingham Forest.
Mm.
It came close.
Really close.
And then I went outside the box. I forgot why I originally went with this prediction, and then I listened to the rest of the podcast a little bit. I forgot that, like, literally the day we went to record the season preview, Wolves' preemptive strike fired their manager before the season started.
Julian Lopetegui, who... Just
boom, you're gone.
By the way, his name will come up again later. So, just, it's going to happen.
Well, will it? Like, does that count? Did he win the sack race?
No, but... We'll get there.
It's a dead ball.
We're going to get there.
It's not a penalty. I agree. It was a dead ball.
It doesn't count, right?
It can't be a penalty. It's a dead ball.
Yeah, you can't get fired during the season if it's before the season. So that's not what I'm talking about, though. So I'm just saying his name will come back up again. Here.
Okay.
Because
I saw that. I was like, ooh, does that count?
Yeah, so I get why you would pick that, though.
So I had Wolves. Yeah, so I had Wolves going down because I thought... Well, my goodness, they just fired their manager.
Yeah.
Since they haven't even started yet.
Well, and they would fire again later in the season as well. So
not the first time they've done this either.
No, it's certainly not.
Another thing.
So you had Luton that was correct in that one.
Right? One for three.
Yeah. I actually had Luton and Sheffield United in there.
All right.
So I had them reversed in positions. And then I also had Burnley in there, who's obviously in the mix pretty late as well. So...
Burnley went down.
Yeah.
So you had all three?
No, sorry. I had Nottingham Forest in there. Oh, that was my third one. So
I was like, dang, you nailed that.
No. So Nottingham Forest was my other one. So obviously really, really close on that one. So I feel pretty good about that one. Two out of three. And then...
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. So
let's go... Okay, we kind of alluded to it. Let's go sack race.
Mm-hmm.
I picked David Moyes. He technically made it to the end of the season. He was announced he was leaving, I think, with like two or three matches left.
Yeah.
So he went the distance.
Yeah. So I also had David Moyes there.
Okay.
We were both feeling pretty low about Moisey there. But yeah, did you see who it was? I couldn't even remember.
So I had to look it up.
There were so few firings this season. Like,
so that's the craziest thing. So the sack race was won in December.
December 5th,
Mr. Heckingbottom.
Amazing name, by the way.
Paul
Heckingbottom.
How is this the first I'm hearing of this gentleman?
I don't know, right? I feel like we should have been obsessed with him if we were recording regularly.
Had we been doing shows.
Yeah.
Much Heckingbottom material would have been happening.
And as you mentioned, Lopetegui getting fired before the season started. Right. Does not count.
It does not count at all. December 5th is your winner.
So there's your sack race champions. Manager of the year, the flip side of that coin. This is another going back to who I was really high about on heading into the season, and I had Erik ten Hag.
So did I.
Yeah.
We both had ten Hag. We're
idiots.
Both just absolutely...
We're kind of close. We got the City, right?
I mean, we were gassing them up, though. We were gassing up. United.
Pep Guardiola, obviously, getting it.
It's, yeah, that was just announced like
fifth time
this
yeah,
evening.
It was today. Yeah, like hours ago that was announced. So congrats, Pep, on winning an award that is a layup.
Who did you have as your dark horse?
My dark horse. So I had to go back and listen because you picked my dark horse and then you told me
I couldn't list that.
I
went to the rule book and made a decision that you could not
Then I went and I picked Spurs and said, like, I'm going to pick my own club.
Can we get a ruling on that?
So we were like, oh, that's the first time we've done that.
They finished fifth.
They did finish fifth. And I would say for the first half of the season, I was bang on correct there. Like,
sure.
We were blowing the doors off the league. This new style with Postecoglou. I was like singing songs about him in the preview show. I was like obsessed with what was going on at that point.
My coworker may own multiple Postecoglou related t-shirts.
I get it.
The hype was real.
The hype is it remains, although there are some Ange out weirdos out
Those
there.
Those people need to settle down.
They need to get the hell out of reality. It's an insane thing to be
the same Chelsea.
So, I mean, I think it's an okay pick. It's an okay pick.
By definition, they finish in a European spot, and we normally go, hey, if that's the case, that's a win?
The thing is, though, it feels... Listen, it's hard to pick Spurs because we really should be finishing in European spots every year, right?
It's
hard to be a dark horse club.
Bit of a tragedy if you don't.
Yeah. You picked...
I picked Everton.
I mean, they were, in some respects, they beat off all of their
point deductions.
They'd have been mid-table. Swimming way higher than we would have thought. It's not too far
Possibly
off
top half.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't. They once again, were just a middling bottom half of the table club.
So who are we saying is the dark horse club for this year?
I think it was Aston Villa.
It has to be Aston Villa.
They finished in a Champions League spot.
It has to be Aston Villa.
So I guess the last one being Golden Boot. Obviously, we both had Haaland, and guess what?
He did that.
He did it. 27 goals.
Yeah,
it's his. You wrote down your bold predictions, right? You kept those.
I went back and listened.
Okay, that's a good idea too. Yeah. You can do that. That works.
I actually did.
That'll play.
I think you did fairly well in the bold prediction department.
I had one that really. Okay, I did all right.
Mm-hmm.
So I had. That now I said, hey, maybe he gets fired, maybe he just decides he's out on his own. But I said Klopp would leave, and he's leaving. He's heading out.
Yeah, he is. So I think that's good enough to give it to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. But I think you had another one that was pretty good too. You said that Aston Villa makes a deep run in Europe,
and what they made it to like the semifinals of the conference.
Yeah. I mean, that's respectable stuff right there.
That doesn't suck at all.
No. And given that they qualified for Europe as well, I think that's a double win there. So,
boom.
There you go.
Look at me.
Two for two.
I also said someone would get wooed away to Saudi Arabia. That has not happened.
No.
In fact, it seems like that. I don't know. Is that?
I feel like the veneer has been ripped off a little bit.
I mean, you hear like players like Benzema and Henderson and stuff like that. Like, they're out. Like, they would like to leave.
They're like, ooh.
But they can't really leave.
Like, do you remember when Drogba did that in China? He just was like, I'm not getting paid later.
I mean, I think, but you also just had the China Super League, which is like, hey, this is not sustainable.
No, it is not. And my guess is what's happening in Saudi Arabia is also not sustainable.
No.
No. I had Liverpool having a down year, which I mean they kind of did by their standards to a certain extent.
I mean, emotionally it was a down year.
Yeah,
you had Klopp announcing, midway or so through the season that he was done.
And I said that there'd be some whispers of Klopp out.
There was whispers. There were whispers. Klopp saying,
but
I don't think
it's enough for me to give that to me. My other,
you don't want to take that credit?
No, I'm going to avoid it.
I was going to give it to you.
My other bold prediction, I only made two, was extremely bold.
Okay. When did you do?
I said that Harry Kane breaks the Premier League scoring record if he stays.
Oof. Yeah. That was the awkward thing listening back was like, I forgot that like we recorded basically right before he made the decision.
It was like 2 days later. It happened immediately.
There's a couple times this year where like we talked about like, well, this may or may not happen. And then like literally by the time we published the podcast, that thing had happened.
Oh, it always happens that way, isn't it? As, like as you're editing it, you're like, oh, damn, that news just broke.
Like that would have been.
Yeah, it would have been great to have known that a couple days ago. So unfortunately, Harry Kane did not stay. He would have to score like 48 goals to do it this
year. That's a lot.
It was very unlikely that that was going to happen.
Probably not happening.
Yeah. So fair to say that I struck out on both the bold prediction department.
I mean, I guess Ainge Ball is like geared towards potentially scoring a ton of goals.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would have scored a bucket load if he had been around this year for it. Who knows? I mean, it's not been the successful spell that he would have hoped for at Bayern.
I was listening back and like we were both like, well, congratulations, Kane. You're going to win a trophy. Like, oop.
That didn't work out for him at all.
I mean, he's got time. He's got more years, but so far...
I'm not upset about it. It's okay.
I mean, it is somewhat troubling as a Spurs fan that, like, Kane goes to another club and they have, like, their first drought. Like, first, like... season without a trophy in like
they got the 20 decades. Years. Yeah, it's like did the Spursy rub off on
did
him?
He bring it
the only him? Reason why I don't think that's true is because Bale and Modric both have gone on and had grand success at the big clubs they moved to afterwards, so it's not like you bring the Spursy with you. It's not some communicable disease.
Well, I mean that's yeah, hopefully that it's not.
Maybe it's just Kane. We're going to say it's just Kane.
Yeah, small sample size.
Yeah, sure.
We'll see. We'll see what next year brings. If he goes 2 years without a trophy,
then something's up.
Looking great.
Something's definitely up there. So there were our predictions. We were pretty bad. We were pretty bad at that as normal.
Yeah. Shockingly, it went terribly.
Nothing new.
All right, let's run it down. 20-1
Ooh, this
season recap.
You thought I was a bad pundit in the first segment.
Here we go.
Get in.
Get ready to learn some names, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
20th place and relegated like with weeks to spare, Sheffield United, 16 points. They got dangerously close to Derby County territory.
They were flirting with it there.
So Derby County was what, 9?
Yeah.
9 points, I believe.
I think they'd gotten to 9 a while ago, I feel like. Or at least they were in touching distance of it a while ago. But 16 is embarrassing.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah. We'll just go ahead and say I do not know who their leading scorer was.
Really? I think you give it a second.
You're going to say it.
So they had 3 wins total this season. They conceded 104 goals.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot. So the question, we'll throw out one question per team.
Okay.
Is this team going to pop right back up? This was a really bad season.
No, I don't think they will, right? One, it took them a while to get back after their last relegation from the Premier League. So I don't really see them doing really well. I mean, and they abandoned a lot of their principles this season to try to stay up. They had this kind of defined style and ideology over the last few years. And once they ditch that, I don't think it's going to be quite as easy to ride that wave back up.
No. It's probably going to be a little difficult for them. Two players each had 6 goals. 6 goals was the top goal scoring. There's 2 players. Just give me one of them.
I have no clue.
Diaz and McBurney.
Okay.
Felt like McBurney you could have had. That Diaz guy was that dude from Blackburn?
Yes.
That they brought in. I was kind of hoping a little more for him because he had kind of become a little bit of a folk hero.
Yeah. Left his
6 goals.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
19th place. JJ Watt in mourning.
Yeah.
Burnley, 24 points. They only had 5 wins on the season. I guess the big question, and now like there's just seems to be the name being floated around is like, is Vincent Kompany gone?
I think he's definitely gone. And the name being floated around to replace him is a former name that you'll know pretty well.
Okay.
He's never had a head coaching job before, so it's a little bit
I'm
of
excited
a dodgy
already.
Position. Ashley Cole.
Yes, I did hear this. So
Ashley Cole's on the Birmingham City coaching staff or something along those lines?
Yeah, something like that. And he's done some work at Chelsea within like the youth ranks. So he's around that kind of stuff. So anyway, he was starting to make a little bit. It's not like he was just coming in box fresh.
Like,
just
I hadn't keep done seeing him make those links. So
it'd be funny. It'd be a little wild that he gets the managerial job before John Terry, who's actually like been working very hard to get a managerial job.
There's a part of me that wants him to never, ever get that job. He'll get one at some point. It'll happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. You're not getting this one. Six goals.
What springs to mind is Wood, but I know that's wrong. So
no, largely because he doesn't play for them.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Nope.
Jacob Brunn Larson.
No way.
Have you ever heard that name before?
I have. Yeah. Now that you say it,
that makes one of us.
Okay. There you go.
18th place, Luton Town, 26 points. They conceded 85 goals. Will we see them again? Like, I feel like this is a blip of, like, them getting up. And
they do. This felt very much like a Cinderella season.
Yeah.
You know, getting this here.
This was an outlier.
You know, their stadium is one of those things. Like, I feel like whenever we talk about them, we have to talk about their ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so little that they have to be generating so little revenue. They need a miracle shot, really, I think, most times to climb the hill that they climbed. And it was a fun ride. I'm sad to see him go down because, you know, obviously that place is a ridiculous place to watch. Every time a match is on, I was like, I'm going to go watch that.
11 goals. Who scored them? Their top goal scorer.
I really feel like this is one I should know, too.
This is another one where I was like, who?
Go on, Todd. Go on.
So, not Ross Barkley.
I know.
Carlton Morris.
Nope. That's not even a real person.
I just made it up.
Yeah.
Just came up with a British sounding name.
He looks like Jordan Morris, but a little bit less stocky. A
little bit of Carlton, a little bit of Jordan Morris.
Yeah, there you go.
17th place, safe for now, Nottingham Forest, 32 points. That's a 6-point drop from the previous season. How do they stay up again? Because they are starting to really cheat death here.
Well, it sounds like their financials are in a really shaky state as well.
That's not helping.
So that's certainly not helping anything. I don't know what it takes for them. I mean, I think they're a big club, right? And I think what they need to do is just maybe have some patience and see if any of these experimental choices that they've made over the last few years actually work, right? Like, they've just stuffed that squad full of people. Do any of them actually add up into anything? But I they've got to stop adding faces and start coming up with some sort of plan if they're going to do it, if nothing else. Like, clean house and actually build towards something instead of just, like, throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Their top goal scorer was
I'm really
you mentioned
bad at this.
Him earlier.
Yeah, Wood.
Chris Wood. Yep. 14 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Nice season for them. 16th place, Brentford, 39 points. That is a 20-point drop from last season.
I mean,
they were top half of the table.
I think I debated making them my
dark horse
this year.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't.
That would have been a terrible choice.
Yeah, it was a bad choice. It's so bad that I'm like, I don't even really remember watching them play this year.
No, I really don't. They went nearly 2 months between wins twice in
this
season. That's
not a good recipe for success.
Is time running out on their Premier League stay?
Absolutely. I think next year is like their last hurrah unless they get their act together.
Yeah, it does feel like they're slowly circling the drain. Mm-hmm. Top goal scorer?
Nope.
Yoan Wissa.
Okay.
12 goals.
Yeah. It's a good return.
Yeah, no, that's good. Mm-hmm. 15th place Everton, 40 points. Could have been more.
Yeah.
Had they not had a good chunk deducted from that.
Yeah, them and Nottingham Forest feeling that.
Even with the deduction, a 4-point improvement from the previous season. That just tells you how close to getting relegated they were last year.
Yes, sir.
Survived those deductions. Can Deitch, like, make this work? Like, they are surviving. They're playing okay. They could have been a mid-table team. Can he actually keep them in that form and actually make them relevant.
I feel like it's silly to say he can't, because what he's done in the circumstances that he's done it in, and it wasn't just the point deductions. I think that's an easy thing to point a finger at, right? They were really hit by the injury bug hard a few times this year. So it's always, you know, I think it's easy to be dismissive of it because, you know, they dealt with a lot of adversity. But
Sure.
I think he can do it. I think that is something that they're capable of, you know, doing a little bit better with. And if they can get beyond these financial issues, which it doesn't seem like they're going to anytime soon, you know, maybe he can actually put a squad together.
Two guys tied on 7 goals. Give me one of those names.
Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert-Lewin is one.
Yeah.
Decore is the other.
Yeah. And good for Calvert-Lewin, too, given that he was one of the ones that was out for large stretches of the season as well. So
yeah. I mean, again, what could have been?
Well,
and what could have been if they don't have
deductions? He came back and was clutch for them down the stretch as well. So good for him.
14th place Wolves, 46 points, a 5-point improvement from last season. But you got to just ask the question. This is a team that was hanging out in the top half of the table there for a while over the past several years. Have they kind of lost the mojo?
I think they've lost the mojo, but they're kind of like one of those clubs that's just become like a, this is where we are.
This,
you know?
This is it.
This is where we stand in the equation. But I don't know if they've lost the mojo so much as they've just kind of found their place.
Fair play. Care to guess. There again, two players tied on 12 goals. So they had two 12-goal scores.
Was one of them Neto?
Neither of them were Neto.
Damn. You're going to say them, and I'm going to be like, oh, I should have known this. But go on.
Kuna.
Mm.
And Hee Chan Wong.
Oh, yeah.
He also had 12.
The South Korean guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, quietly had a pretty decent season on it.
Yeah, and middling. I'm not just saying that like, oh, yeah, the South Korean guy. That was like an actual thing this season. Do you remember when Guardiola did that? Like, oh, yeah, and they have that South Korean guy. And then he went and lit him up like the next game, scored a winner against him, if memory serves.
13th place, Fulham, 47 points, a 5-point drop from last year. My question is, from an American standpoint, how long is Tim Ream just going to play till he's 50? But more importantly, does Jedi need to look for a move?
It sounds like Jedi. I think the sharks are circling a little bit, right? Like I think he has clubs that are looking at him. I mean, he was heavily linked with Manchester City. I think both the summer and winter transfer windows. So I think that's something that is at least, you know, if he's getting looks at City, that means other clubs are looking at him as well.
Sure.
Does he need it? I don't know. I mean, Fulham are an interesting side. They play good football. Yeah. They attack, which gives him a lot of opportunities to do so, but he also has to defend because it's Fulham. So, I don't know. I don't think he needs to move, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
9 goals. Who scored them?
It wasn't Jimenez, was it?
No.
Yeah.
Rodrigo Muniz.
Okay.
Well, Frankie Muniz is
it's his brother.
Cousin.
Yep.
They're related.
Mm-hmm.
12th place, Bournemouth, 48 points, a 9-point improvement from the previous season. Are they back to being like a mainstay of the Premier League or?
I think they are, right? Okay. I think this is a good sign of the health of the squad. They were an entertaining squad.
Mm-hmm.
And they got there, you know, their ideology was so wrapped up in Eddie Howe, right? When he left, you a little bit wondered, like, can they be that team that they were in the Premier League when they were kind of Howe's thing? They have found their mojo again. And I, you know, as much as we were saying, like, have Wolves lost it, I think Bournemouth have regained it. And they looked steady and like they belonged in the league this year for sure.
And one of the best things they had going for them had 19 goals this season.
Fabulous return. I know this one for sure. Dominic Solanke.
Yeah. Former Chelsea and Liverpool man himself. Having a great season.
Really good season. He was doing wonders for my fantasy team all year long. So
11th place, Brighton, 48 points. That is a 14-point drop from the previous season. It was announced pretty much right before kickoff or the day before that DeZerbi is out. He's leaving. He's gone. So that leaves them kind of in the lurch a bit of, like, where do they go next?
But they're such a formula team, right? Sure. Like, I would imagine that they already know who the next manager is going to be already. Like, they probably have a list 10 people deep. They're like, yeah. Oh, if this guy says no, then we go on to the next person on the list. Because, you know, when Potter left, you're like, ooh, maybe that's going to spell curtains for them.
Is it Potter? Is that who they bring in? He's available. Oh, my God.
Well, he is available. Maybe. I would be surprised if they did, because I think they've evolved a little bit past that.
No, you don't want to run it back?
It should never run it back for in most cases, right?
You generally shouldn't, but it always feels good to do it.
It does. I know.
Like, should we run it back? Absolutely. Why wouldn't we? And then, like, afterwards,
you're like, that was we shouldn't have done it. But there were moments. There were moments there. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see where I'm really intrigued to see where DeZerbi lands, because he says he doesn't have a job lined up, but you don't just
Why do you just leave?
Unless he's just like, I've had enough time.
Please don't. Please don't come to Chelsea.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Oh, God.
Feels that way.
I'm not sold on this.
I'm telling you, it feels that way.
Yes, it does, and I'm not happy about it.
Last time you guys pipped a manager from there, how'd that go?
Incredibly poorly.
Yeah.
9 goals. Who scored them?
Was it Pascal Gross?
No.
Hold on a minute.
You got options. I mean, they have a lot of options. Young bucks there.
Nope. It's not coming to me.
It's not Ferguson. It's not Buonanotte. It is João Pedro.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
10th place, Crystal Palace. 49 points, only a 4-point improvement from last year. They garnered 19 of possible 21 points down the stretch to close out the season.
Pretty solid.
The vultures are swarming, though. How many stars do they lose this summer?
Oh, a few, I think. I'd venture to say your club has got to be in the mix, at least on one
possibly,
or two of them.
I don't know. Yeah. Olise sounds like it's either going to be Arsenal or United, I thought.
Potentially.
Eze, you guys?
I would love that.
I would be okay. I love Eze. He is literally one of my favorite players.
He's fun to watch. He's
former chair boy.
Ooh.
Played like half a season on loan with us.
He's like, I'm going to get out of here.
I mean, he was way too good for us. Yeah. He's incredible. I hope he goes somewhere where I don't have to hate him. So
yeah.
Please don't go to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Please don't go to Liverpool.
Speak of the devil, he should be their top scorer. Yeah?
No.
Oh.
But that's actually one of the points I had here. They had 3 players score 10 or more goals.
Whoa.
Eze being one of them.
Okay.
Olise being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were actually outdone by one other guy.
Who was it?
Mateta. Mateta had 16 goals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had a good season, though, overall.
They did. They would score in bunches.
Mm-hmm.
And they blew some people out.
They really did. They had some great results along the way this season. So I'm intrigued to see what they're going to be doing the next year. So,
West Ham, 9th place, 52 points. That is a 12-point drop. Only 4 wins since New Year's. So in 2024, they only won in the league 4 times. Moyes is out.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Well, it sounds like I made mention of this earlier, that Julian Lopetegui is who's going to get the job.
Oh. That seems like a...
You know, the guy that was canned.
Marginal decision.
Yeah. The guy that was canned right before the last season started. A team was so unconfident in his ability to do it that they were like, we're going to can you before we even let you fail, right?
Love it.
So, great move for West Ham. If you are a London club that finds West Ham annoying, fabulous move.
Yeah, get excited.
Yeah.
Their top goal scorer, that should be fairly easy.
Jared Bowen,
16 goals on the season. 8th place with their worst finish in the Premier League era. Manchester United.
Ooh, boy.
Our darling in, during our predictions. 60 points. That is a 15-point drop from the previous season. Again, their worst finish ever in the EPL. What's next? I mean, this is an interesting offseason for them. They got a fire Ten Hag, right?
I mean, he was doing all the things that fired managers do at the end of the season, where he was blaming his team.
Yeah.
He was blaming circumstances. He was popping off at the press. He was fighting with his players.
He notably this season ran off a kid that is now going to be playing in the Champions League final. Mm. So you got that going. It's good. That was a good move.
Good move on his part.
That worked out swimmingly.
Yeah, you do have to think that they're gone at this point, right? Like, it's got to be something that they're going to move, but the question is for who at this point? Like, who? Tuchel is the name that I think comes to mind, like, almost immediately.
Or?
No.
Or?
Don't.
I don't want it to happen either.
He can't fix this. He can't. If he couldn't fix it at Chelsea.
Well, okay. So that's an argument in and of itself, because I would consider that he got an incomplete on that project.
We'll get there. I'm sure it's coming.
I'm glad they at least did that today and not after we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So
we knew at least.
Points for that, at least. They had two players tied on 10 goals. Give me one of them. Actually, you know what? No, you must give me two of them.
I have to. So Rashford?
No.
No? He had a down year.
Hoyland? Just ask Gareth Southgate, who did not put him on the team.
No kidding. Hoyland?
Hoyland is one.
And then Bruno.
Bruno is two.
There we go.
You got him.
There we go.
Seventh place, 60 points, an 11-point drop from the previous season. Newcastle. When is the money gun coming out? Like, when are they just going to go nuts?
Well,
Come on.
I don't know. I think they've been smart about this, I think, to a certain extent.
That's not the Saudi way. What is this crap?
Well, I think they've watched as City, like, everyone's watching in bated breath about what's going on with City. And I think they're just sitting there going, what can we or can't we actually get away with?
What can a club get away with?
Yeah. And I think once they know where the bar is, they'll start acting. But I think they're actually waiting this out a little bit and being a little strategic about what's going on.
21 goals.
Great season, Izak.
Yeah, phenomenal season.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth place, 63 points, a 19-point improvement. A 19-point improvement and a sixth-place improvement. Chelsea Football Club. Ooh. I'm sorry, what? We have breaking news. Yeah, they have parted ways with Pochettino.
This is an insane decision to me.
So it does sound like yesterday and today, Pochettino and the quote-unquote brain trust met, and they went away Monday night going, should we move on from each other? And they all decided to sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday morning, they all said,
yep.
No, let's stay with this choice. We're out of here.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it is relatively mutual. But it's mutual in the fact that I think Pochettino was left with a situation that he knew he couldn't win with, right?
Well, and I think
he was fighting a losing battle. And he was
and I mean, we've talked so many times about the financial straits that Chelsea have put themselves in by making so many of these young signings on long-term deals on expensive money on top of it. I think it's just one of those, like, Pochettino's like, well, I need this, this, and this. And they're like, well, you have this and you're going to use this. And the sad part is it seemed like at the end of the season,
it's going great.
It was starting to click. And what did we talk about when Pochettino first got this job is that his system takes time. Yeah. It takes time.
We ended the season and the vibes were immaculate.
Yeah.
And everything was good. And just when I thought, man, that went pretty well. All right, on to the off season.
It does make you wonder if there was rumors that he had lost the dressing room a while back.
But see, I'm hearing pretty much the... Okay. Did he lose the dressing room or did he lose Thiago Silva?
Oh, I mean,
because he most certainly did that.
Thiago Silva is leaving the club, obviously.
Yes,
right?
And his wife has had some
choice words,
spicy comments on the social medias.
Always good when the wags get involved.
Love it.
In the commentary.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of the young players liked him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the young players liked him, looked up to him. The vibes were good. Reports say that today, so the players found out the same way just you and I here in Ohio found out. So that's not
so good. It's always good. It's a good it's a good way for the club.
And apparently representatives of at least one unknown player told the media that the player was, quote, devastated.
I would be willing to bet that was Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, because it's amazing how many minutes that guy got.
Yeah.
Unwarranted minutes
truly,
that man
I
got.
I truly think that's probably what it was.
I love Conor Gallagher, but he's not exactly earned the minutes he was given this year.
Hmm. Well, don't you doubt Poch. Don't you doubt him. I know this one.
Now what?
Yeah, I know the answer, at least to the following question.
Of so now what?
Oh, not so now what?
Oh, no. What question? What was the question?
Who Chelsea's top scorer was this year?
Oh, yeah. No, we all know that.
Yeah, it's Cole Palmer.
Palmer. Yeah. Finished second in the league with 22 goals.
Yeah, fabulous campaign for
Hot
him,
minute
too.
There. He was actually in first place.
Mm-hmm. And then
Holland was like,
oh, yeah, I remember. I'm a goal-scoring machine.
And it was conveniently right when they were getting set to play Spurs.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Great.
Yeah, now what?
For Chelsea, I mean... Tuchel's back on the market. Can him and Boley, Kim and him and Boley hug it out?
I'd rather they didn't.
Okay, fair.
I don't know.
Maybe Ten Hag?
No, we're good. It sounds like DeZerbi's like... So he is currently 2-1 odds from Sky Bet.
I think it's a certainty. It's got the Boley... Like, it's got Boley written all over it, doesn't
it? Well, you want to talk about Boley written all over it. The second best odds is Ipswich's manager.
Oh, man.
Which, that seems to talk about a bridge too far. Well, we thought Potter was taking too big of a leap.
Yeah, I know.
Holy cow.
Here we go. Buckle up. It'll probably be someone from Europe. Or De Zerbi. It's going to be De Zerbi.
Flick?
Ooh, that could potential.
Who knows? We don't deserve that.
No.
Ipswich guy it is.
Yeah.
Let's go. Moving on from that, just house fire. Like, seriously, just when you thought we had got away scot-free from that season, everything was good.
Nope.
Club statement.
Like, oh no.
Son of a...
please be just a club director going somewhere. That's all we need.
Fifth place, 66 points, a 6-point improvement from the previous season. Tottenham Hotspurs.
The Hotspurs.
Oh, were they hot?
At times. First half of the season.
Occasionally.
They were red hot, and then things cooled.
So, yeah, then things cooled. Is Ange Ball working?
It is working. I think we were seeing a team that was riding high on confidence, like everything was clicking and working.
Mm-hmm.
All the breaks were going their way at the beginning of the campaign. Then that Chelsea match happened. And our world fell apart.
They both went really badly for you.
Yeah, but the first one.
Yeah.
Madison got hurt. Romero got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Van de Ven got hurt. We lost Van de Ven and Madison, I think, for multiple months out of that one. Bentancur picked up a recurring injury in that one as well. So that we got devastated injury wise. And then
you make it sound like the Chelsea players were out there were just with like,
they weren't,
knives,
it wasn't,
people.
it was just like a dumb luck a kind of match for us. We ended up losing that match and that like shot all of our momentum and Madison being out for as long as he did, we kind of just lost that key piece that I think was really making it click. I think it can still work and I'm optimistic about. We're going to move on some of the older players in the squad that didn't really fit the system at all.
So, like, yeah, that's kind of the question. What off-season upgrades are we looking at?
Oh, man. I mean, all over the pitch, I think we're going to be looking in midfield in particular. I'm expecting someone like Højbjerg to leave the club
okay.
and look for someone a bit more offensive. There's been a lot of talk of Conor Gallagher. I do not want do not want. I expect we'll get another winger in. If they can get themselves a marquee nine, I think they'll do that. I don't know who the marquee nine would be.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of went into the season thinking you had Kane. Mm-hmm. He leaves. He's not replaced.
Nope.
So you'd hope that gets addressed in some manner.
Right? Richarlison had a decent season. Like, sure. I think he did an okay job. I think we did better when we played Sun through the middle. He ended up with 17 goals as a team's top scorer. So I know that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. You know, Brendan Johnson had a good first campaign, had a bunch of assists under his belt and a decent haul of goals too. So I think there's a lot to work with in the squad, but I think they just need some pieces to accent and get Ange Ball fully implemented.
Fourth place, Aston Villa, 68 points, mm-hmm. 7-point drop. No, that's not, that can't be a 7-point addition. I wrote that wrong.
There we go.
It's like, that's, no, they didn't.
They did not drop. No,
they didn't finish drop in second
and then go
place
up in the
year.
Table. Yeah.
First Champions League spot for them since 1983.
It's been a few years. By the way, they won the European Cup 2 years before that. So
not bad.
Yeah. This a bit of a, like a harken back to the glory years type of situation for them.
Can they handle Champions League schedule? Or will it crush them next year?
Well, you have to remember, too, next year's Champions League is going to be Wild Boy. There's way more games.
Yeah.
Right? So
not great. Not a great time for them.
I'm actually a little concerned for them in that regard. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to have to invest, and I think people are going to be hunting for some of their better players as well. So, I think this is going to be a tough challenge for them.
Top goal scorer?
Watkins.
Yep, 19 goals.
Ali.
Third place, Liverpool. 82 points, a 15-point improvement from last year. The Arne Slot era awaits us.
Has begun.
I don't know. Was he there?
He was unemployed prior to this point, so...
Was he unemployed?
I think he had been at Feyenoord, and then...
He's been there.
What, did he leave, or is he still there?
Well, I mean, their season's over, but okay. he was there till the end.
Okay, well, never mind.
So he's been unemployed for about 48 hours.
Okay, there you go. Well, now he's there, probably. Already getting the seat warm as Jurgen's left it cold, so...
This is a big change. This is a big big change for them. To Klopp era ends, they head in a new direction. Some of their big name players are question marks about maybe not the immediate future, but you know, just how much longer they will be around and they will be the relevant player that they were.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to happen this offseason?
I would suspect change. Like
in lots,
a hefty amount of it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think someone like Virgil van Dijk, is this the time to cash, right?
Possibly,
like,
yeah.
I mean, he's not the player that he was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, he's not. He's not spring chicken anymore.
Is this the time to move Salah on and really cash a check, like before that check is no longer there?
That Saudi check?
Yeah. I mean, Saudi, I don't think he's not going to go to Real Madrid now that... Mbappe is a pretty much done deal there as well. But I suspect that we're going to see a couple people that we're used to seeing in Liverpool red no longer there.
Hmm.
I think the Slot era will be defined on how well he can pick up, you know, where Jurgen left off. And
yeah, Feyenoord's got some decent young talent. I wonder if he tries to bring in maybe one of those guys.
Yeah, it's a potential.
Santi Jimenez. Mm-hmm. That could be a possibility. Honestly, actually, one of their better players was a Newcastle loanee, Minta.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they end up... What he ends up doing is if he tries to bring anybody from what was a phenomenal Feyenoord side.
Oh, yeah. Who literally just
blew out everybody in league play. Top goal scorer?
Solid.
Yeah, 18 goals.
Yeah.
Second place, Arsenal, 89 points. Oh, so close. 5-point improvement.
Shoot.
This is the second year in a row that they finish behind City.
Ha ha.
Can they do it, though? Like, can they make this happen?
I think they can. I mean, a lot depends on getting everyone to perform at the top gear again. But I mean, they had arguably the signing of the season. You know, they've found depth. A lot of their young players have matured the way that you would hope they would, at least if you were bringing them through. You know, a lot of the things that are going right have continued to go right for them. We saw them wobble a little bit towards the beginning of the year where we saw Arteta kind of trying to find a secondary system for them to play. And then they figured that out too. I think they're a very dangerous team. Like, I think there's just no getting around that. But they, again, need everyone to perform. And can they all do it again? I mean, it's City. It's not like City aren't going to retool. So I fully expect that they'll you know, find a way to be competitive again next year. But I think they can, they're in it at least for another year or so.
Top goal scorer?
This one's tough.
Yeah. They, you got options.
Yeah, right? You do have options. Is it Saka?
It is Saka.
Yeah.
16 goals on the season.
Mm-hmm.
First place, Manchester City, 91 points, a 2-point jump from last season.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be stopped? Have we just become one of those European leagues where it's a bit of a foregone conclusion who's most likely going to win?
No, I mean, it's been relatively tight for...
Sure.
I mean, this year, obviously, it was very tight.
Sure.
I think they can be stopped, but I think we've reached the point where it's like, it's going to be City, 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 some other team, City, City, some other team, City, City, you know... Maybe trade a couple off there.
Sure, as long as but my club's one
I think
of those, that,
I think
good.
That's what it's going to be, right? Like, I think that's the new reality, at least until Newcastle figure out what they can do.
Could Pep get bored or feel unfulfilled now that he's kind of hit? I mean, they're just clipping off titles. They finally won Champions League.
I think he has a desire to challenge himself in another league, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But Italy is like the only place that naturally makes sense at this point.
Juve needs a manager.
They do, but the Italian system is a mess.
Yeah.
And I just, like, he's not been at a club where there's not been an unlimited pile of money for him to have access to, right? Like, when he was at Bayern, he was picking the cream of the crop. When he's been at City, he's been able to drop the biggest check in the room. You know, it was the same way at Barcelona while he was there. So he's not going to go somewhere where it's broke. And
right,
I just don't see him going to the national team. Just doesn't seem like it's in his,
not really his vibe,
his vibe at all. But I could see him getting bored and then taking like a year or two off and then showing back up somewhere. Who knows?
Holland, obviously a top goal
scorer. Yeah.
We did have some eulogies.
We did.
Let's run through those. So we solicited eulogies from you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Given the eulogy of your team, how it went, just kind of your final thoughts to wrap it up.
I love that everyone kept it brief this year. No one loves a long eulogy.
We did solicit it on Twitter, so
it's true.
It does sort of command that,
it's true.
That's the situation.
It's been key that we stopped asking for people to email them to us because those end up long.
Do you even have the password that I email anymore? When's the last time you checked that thing?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully there's not anything important
some
in there.
Some book inquiries like, would you like to interview this author?
Probably not. All right, so we had two for Arsenal. Our good buddy Jason Ridge, he said Arsenal, so close yet so far away. Mike Ackley also sent one in for Arsenal. His was a little bit longer. He said, we came close twice. The easy thing to say is we'll be back, but you really never know. Don't drop both games to Villa, West Ham, and Fulham at home. Moving over to Liverpool.
Fulham at home is like, that's the head scratch.
That was the one that was like, oh man, I can't believe that
unfolded. What are you doing?
And that one happened too. You go, ooh.
Maybe not.
That might have been it right there. Rupesh Sharma, he sent over a good one for Liverpool.
Okay.
Brief, the end of an era.
It truly is. It's gonna be really interesting to see what Liverpool, the Klopp Liverpool has just been so ingrained in kind of the landscape of the league. Just kind of see that be a different thing now. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, the normal one is now gone. Jeff Tebbett's moving on with Spurs. Our good buddy Jeff from Cincy Soccer Talk. He says, were we just the best of the worst teams this year? Which is a great way of putting it. How in the name of Georges, Kevin, and Kudu did we get fifth? Yeah, big Ange and all, but I swear that Karma wore the captain's armband and tried to studs up tackle us all during the season. How did we survive all that? And it did feel like we got kind of shoved off our perch a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, coming down to it, there was a possibility that we were going to pip you guys.
Yeah. I would have been pretty upset about that.
Yeah, as you should have.
Yeah, it had been very upsetting. Adam Maloney, your occasional stand-in on this show. He's a big, longtime Manchester United supporter. He had what I think is my favorite eulogy so far. He said, providing Manchester United with a eulogy would require more effort than the club put forth, so no thanks.
Fair enough.
That is excellent stuff, as always, Mr. Maloney. Alex Ward sent over one for Newcastle. He said, European nights to the only healthy players on the bench are guys from the Rafa Championship year and U18s.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
Going to want to build that depth out, especially when you're playing European football.
There you go. Matt Morris had our last one. His is for West Ham. He said, Moyes left. He's arguably the best manager we've had in recent times. Time will tell who we bring in and if they can match up to him. So, sounds like a fading optimism in West Ham corners.
It's very weird that Moyes, like, there's a lot of people that talk super highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught any of Tim Howard's Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah.
And talk about how David Moyes was the best manager he ever played for and made him the player he was. And he owes his European career to David Moyes.
I mean, clearly people have seen stuff in him, you know, being the handpicked successor to Sir Alex. I mean, clearly there was something that Sir Alex rated there too. But I think his legacy, people will be disappointed with what he did there, but he won them a European trophy, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So there were our eulogies. Should we end with one last winners and wankers?
Winners and wankers. Where would you like to start?
Give me your wanker.
My wanker is, hold on, let me pull it up here. Okay. Sorry. My wanker. Is that on? There you go. My wanker this week, and really kind of encapsulating this entire time that we've not had a pod, is the, we'll just say just soccer parents in general. Why is the loudest ones the ones that understand the game the least?
There is like an inherent like self-confidence in all those parents that they're like, I know what I'm yelling about. As a coach, they're very evident.
We've gotten to the point with our kids where we were talking about this before the pod. Like Lena has become, you know, one of those prototypical, you know, back to goal target strikers. She's tall, muscular for her age. She asserts herself on the field. And the amount of parents that I hear think that my daughter is just murdering kids out there as she's just playing and playing the way you're supposed to play. It was shocking. It was insane this year.
Oh, man. I was calling for a ref who was clearly in over their head to make some fouls, you know, just call any fouls against a girl that was clearly fouling every time. And I had some parents yell at me to leave the ref alone and to let their kids play because we should just let them do what they want. Like, this brilliant. That's not how this works at all. It's not how this works at all. But yeah, soccer parents are terrible. Yeah.
Now, I will say I got to ref. I had to be called in to ref my daughter's final, my twins' final game. And I called Lena for about 10 fouls.
She deserved it.
I loved it. It was a blast.
It just get under that skin.
Your wanker.
my wanker this week. I went with literally pretty much anyone that's involved in the fact that we don't know what's going on with the Manchester City 115 counts thing. Like, we don't have an answer to that yet.
What's a bigger mystery? The 115 counts situation or Bruce Arena's dismissal?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know.
We still have absolutely no idea what happened. Oh,
dude, they're both. I hope so badly that they're wrapped up in each other.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it be? Like, that's what they did. Bruce was up to some shady shit with Manchester City. Like, that would be an amazing little tie-in. But, I mean, even they're saying that the UK government has admitted to The Athletic that its embassy in Abu Dhabi and the Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office have discussed the charges leveled against Manchester City by the Premier League, but are refusing to disclose correspondence because it could risk the UK's relationship with the UAE. That is crazy.
Sports washing for the win.
I mean, blatant.
This is the point of sports washing.
That's
to make you go, hey.
That's the answer.
We still want to do business with you.
We know why we don't have an answer. It's that right there, because the government is literally interfering in it.
Note to Everton, be owned by the UAE.
Russian billionaire bad.
Yeah.
UAE.
He's gonna get his yacht seized. It's going to be a bad scene.
UAE good, I guess.
Absolutely.
Saudi Arabia questionable?
So far, so good for Newcastle.
Yeah, right. They haven't tried to liquefy any of the reporters covering them yet. So.
Not yet. Give it
There's
time.
Time.
Give it time.
There is time. What about your winner? Give us something positive to end on here.
My winner goes to former Chelsea women's manager, current U.S. women's national team manager, Emma Hayes, going out on top as Chelsea won 6-0 over United to clinch on the final day their fifth consecutive league title.
It's a bit of a juggernaut she's leaving behind there.
Just slightly.
Big shoes to fill there as well.
It's wild to see like the early, because they were showing a lot of early photos when she first took the job. I mean, literally, she came from, like, you know, being in Chicago, hanging out with Peter Wilt on the Red Stars too, like the Chelsea gig.
Right.
Kind of wild.
Yeah.
But if you think about it then, the Chelsea gig was a small gig. It was a it was a club that funding wasn't really happening for it. They were playing at like a, I want to say like a non-league side.
Yeah.
Stadium. They ended up taking over the Kings Meadow and or whatever it is and making it the, kind of their own stadium.
Right.
And like just the difference that, like, I mean, it's hard to really find a manager that you can literally say they made this club.
Yeah.
What it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and she's so clearly the cream of the crop when it comes to the women's managers out there. Like, if there was a no-brainer, the U.S. women's national team could have gone and gotten, and it was clearly her.
Yeah. So. Kudos to her. She goes out on top, getting her fifth consecutive title. I think since the league has started, they've won most
of the titles. Yeah. May she bring that title-winning credentials back to the U.S. women's national team.
I mean, she signed off in her final press conference to the British press by saying, "See you guys in the Olympics."
Ooh, boy. Here we go. My winner, I'm going to end us off with... Marco Reus,
okay,
is leaving Dortmund,
right?
Which
does have one fairly important match still left to play.
Yeah, it's true. But he went into the Westfalenstadion's bar.
Okay,
their kind of like pub that they have there in the stadium, and he paid for every last beer for every supporter who attended the bar at that point.
That's pretty dope.
He just walked in and said, "Thanks for everything. The farewell beer is on me."
He had, I mean, that's a good little run he's had where he did that. And then the same week, he also did something near and dear to my heart, which was say, "I don't ever want to live in St. Louis." And that's, man.
He's like, "That's it for me. That's it for me.
Charlotte, maybe. St. Louis, absolutely not.
Sounds like Charlotte's out now, too. So
as it should be. Although, dude, he would have fit in really well on that team. But
yeah, that is true. But that brings us to the end of this week's show. This season that was.
I mean, I guess we probably owe some summer eps. It's a big summer.
There is a lot of soccer coming.
You got Copa, you got Euros, you got Olympics for the women. You have
MLS.
MLS is rolling.
Are they doing the Leagues Cup again?
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Somehow like they're going to shoehorn that thing in. Yeah. There's time, I guess.
Remember, it's their tournament. They'll go ahead and take a whole month off for it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Now you and your 100 and X number year old tournament. Don't have time.
still makes me angry. But yeah, we'll have to get it together once or twice this summer.
Sure, why not?
Maybe even take this thing on the road. Who knows?
I'm in.
Yeah, all right. As always, thanks for tuning in, for those of you who've done so. I know Ken Brew will be excited because he's been asking every time I'm on his radio.
I lied like, to that, hey, man, so many times.
When's the next pod coming out? Tuesday.
So I said
it's on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're getting one going. No, we're not.
No, we're not. But I felt good this weekend when I was on a show and I was like, oh, we're actually recording one probably. So we'll see.
Exciting times.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of Jeremy, he's on that network. Don't do it. Don't.
Don't.
But if you want to see his card breaks.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
I'm doing an MLS show on Thursday.
Yeah.
So if you want to just get real into the just
you have MLS an, you have DJs. Another show you're doing now too. You've got a referees podcast that you're
yeah,
doing?
Yeah. That's so we're running kind of just making some content through work. So that's that is a Gotham soccer production.
That's pretty cool.
So it's myself as just kind of the host, Andrew, who's my coworker, he refs and plays. And then Elliot is one of our, he was our main referee in New York. He's currently back in London where he's from. Pour one out for him. He's a big Arsenal supporter. He actually refs he has quite the credentials. He's ref now for the FA and USSF.
Oh, very cool.
So he's back with the FA now, reffing for them.
Well, it's been a good listen. I've tuned into a few episodes, so give that a listen.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I just lob questions and just let them go. Elliot has a very nice, proper London accent, so
bounces out your dulcet tones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you just got my idiot voice just squawking around.
There you go. Well, if you want to see any of that, follow Jeremy on any of the platforms at Jeremy Lance or Jeremy David Lance, whatever combination you want.
Put my full government out there.
That's right. I'm at Wrong Side of Pond as always, and it's been fun.
Bye.
See you whenever.